Hello, and welcome to Teaching, Learning, and Everything Else,
a series of conversations with innovative educators at colleges and universities across the country and around the world.
This podcast is produced by faculty and staff in the Center for the Advancement of Teaching and Faculty Development at Xavier University of Louisiana.
And now let's talk about teaching, learning, and everything else.
Hello, this is Jeremy Tooman, Center for Advancement of Teaching, Xavier University, Center for Advancement of Teaching Plus, Faculty Development, new title. I'm sitting here with Dr. Ryan McBride, Tulane University, in the Center for Public Service, and he is an administrative assistant professor here in the center. Let's begin. Tell us a little bit about your current service learning teaching.
Thanks, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Always happy to talk about the service project I'm working on. Right now, I'm working on a project that is it stems from a classical rhetoric course that I started teaching about 6 years ago. And after we taught it for the first time, we realized that, and it involves a service component, which has my students coach in local middle schools, and we were coaching in three different middle schools at the time. And after the first iteration of the course, we realized that we had a lot of debaters and a lot of coaches who were interested in continuing their work as debate coaches, and these were my Tulane students. And so we put together an internship seminar. I did with some of the faculty in the English department, and who were really supportive of the program, and we have been combining the service learning course, this classical rhetoric course, with the internship seminar for the last 6 years. And basically now I have around 60 students, maybe, you know, who are working as coaches, as judges, as organizers, as you know, doing all kinds of different things. And we're working directly with six local middle schools, and so in those six schools, my students coach the teams, and then we also invite every school in the city to attend our tournament. So we host at least four tournaments every year, two a semester, and so it's really grown into and we have like 16 schools now coming to our tournaments, so it's grown into a really an institution. It's a league. And people expect these tournaments, and it's really it's done things that I'd never expected at the beginning. We thought, well, this is a nice experiment. I sure hope it works, and it's worked. So that's always, you know, that's one of the things about service learning. You're like, you're trying to do something that's a little different because you're going outside the classroom, and you're going out into the world and attempting to make things happen. And it seems a little risky, and you're not sure where it's going to go. But here we are 6 years into it, and it's really going well.
Very good. So before 6 years ago, did you have any background with or experience in community-based learning or engaged learning of any kind?
No. I first heard about it through there's a faculty seminar that's offered here through the Center for Public Service, and I thought that sounded interesting. I'd been to schools where we had decentered classrooms and we did seminars, you know, where the professor wasn't even called a professor, he or she was called a tutor, and we'd just talk, and it was on us as much as it was on the tutor to run the discussion. And I love that decentered classroom, and it seemed like service learning offered the next step in that, because you're sort of like, you're changing, it's not only just a decentered classroom, the classroom is the world, and you're sort of taking in even more into your classroom, and you're discussing all kinds of things, and I think it adds just one more dimension of richness and complexity to teaching. So I was interested in it, and a dean here, Dean McLaren, he said, he mentioned, I think, to T.R. Johnson, like, that hey, there's some interesting stuff going on here with the International Debate Education Association, and they were doing things at UNO. And so I went to some of those workshops, and I've talked with probably hundreds of teachers and students and principals, and we went we learned all about they had high school and middle school debate there, and then they'd bring in students and would do like a workshop for one weekend, and then the next weekend there'd be a tournament, and there was a lot of interest, and it was really interesting and fun. And then it would be over, though, because the International Debate Education Association people would go back to the various places where they had come from, and there would be no certain tournaments, and there weren't really established teams. So we thought, well, maybe we could do something. And I saw that there was a real need for middle school debate and a real demand for it too. We had thought high school, but middle school is great because you're really focusing on how to construct arguments, how does rationality work. You're looking at how do you have civic dialogues and civil dialogues, and it's a fantastic age too for us to work with, in terms of like there are kids who are just starting to figure out who they are. It's at that age where they start to think about what are their views, as opposed to the ones that they've just been raised with, and so they start to question and think about things. So, and this gives them also a chance to, find their voices and think through the tough problems that confront us, and sort of a different kind of experience. So anyway, so we went with but that's sort of getting ahead of how we got there. So all this debate stuff seemed interesting, but it also reminded me of this Aristotle course that I took. I think it was like my fourth course on Aristotle as a graduate student. Like anybody offers anything on Aristotle, I'm taking it. And it was the first time that I felt like I understood Aristotle, or where Aristotle was coming from. And part of that was from, there's this never-read book of the Topics, which is like the eighth book of the Topics, mm-hmm. is all about debate. And they have this form of debate that he's talking about in there that's this kind of, it's a one-on-one, and it's one person asking questions, and the other person answering, but the other person is just answering with yes or no's. It's a lot like a lot of the Platonic dialogues, So it's sort of like what Socrates does in many of the dialogues. But he's talking about the strategy, and they have competitive sort of matches in this, and that's something that they did in the Lyceum and the Academy. And this is something that it seemed like everybody knew it, but it's not really done anymore. Mm-hmm. But that practice really helped me to understand where Aristotle was coming from, and talking about, philosophical method, and understanding how, for instance, the Nicomachean Ethics is structured. So we read that in my class, and then we go into the Nicomachean Ethics, mm-hmm. and then we also read Quintilian's Institutio Oratoria, which is basically it's a 12-volume set on how to raise the ideal Roman orator. And wow. it's a challenging text and a fascinating one to read while you're attempting to coach middle schoolers in debate. So I found to make a long story short, I found some people who wanted some interesting things, or wanted a good program out in the community that was actually called for. They wanted it. Mm-hmm. There are teachers who were willing to partner with me, and at the same time, I found some really rich areas of academic work that are sort of given new life by investigating them with this service project, sort of in tandem with this service project, so that the service project complicates the readings, and, right. and the readings, you know, help complicate the service project. So that, you know, we start writing papers about the philosophical, the ethical, and the rhetorical underpinnings of their actions as debate coaches.
Wow, that's really interesting the way it all came together like that. And from what I understand, this course may be coming to Xavier.
That's right.
As well,
this is the word. I've heard. I've been talking with Paul Schaefer for, you know, basically since I started this.
Chair of philosophy, at Xavier.
Yes, and wonderful all around human being. And we've actually applied for a American Philosophical Association grant to do some things along these lines too, but he's going to be piloting a program, basically teaching a version of this course at Xavier next spring. So I think that's really exciting. We're looking, you know, one of the things that I think service learning can do is it opens you up to the community, and it opens you up in lots of ways to other disciplines. So this is, you know, I'm teaching out of the English department. Mm-hmm. He's in philosophy, mm-hmm. but there's no lapse there. I mean, it's about rhetoric and philosophy. So right. it stands in both. So it's interdisciplinary, and now it's also interinstitutionary.
Mm-hmm.
Interinstitutional is that, I don't know. There may be a more elegant term for it. But
yeah. I think it's going to be interesting for you two to talk about the differences in perceptions and experience between the Tulane students and the Xavier students. That's going to be an interesting look as well.
Absolutely.
You touched on this on this a little bit, but talk a little bit more about what you see as the benefits of this project from the middle school students, the community members, as it were.
Great, yeah, that's, I mean, that, for me, service learning project, that's got to be front and center. If that's not in place, if they're not benefiting, then the whole project is for naught. I think there are lots of levels in which it works. For one, there was no middle school debate except for these, you know, occasional sort of experiences that you could have if you went to UNO with the International Debate Education Association, and they're not doing those anymore. So there was no middle school debate at the time. So now there's a thriving league. So if kids are interested in debate, they can do it. There are lots of things that people get out of it, and it's kind of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
One, they get a very different experience of what they get a very different experience than they get in their normal days at school, in terms of, like, most of the time you're just sitting there listening to a teacher,
right.
And or maybe you are collaborating with your fellow students, ideally. But it's rare for them to get the chance to really hold the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And middle schooler debaters, when they're debating, I mean, there's a room full of adults and middle schoolers who are hanging on their every word,
mm-hmm.
for 5 minutes. And I think that can be a transformative experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a powerful experience. They also are speaking publicly, which, I mean, this is one of the greatest fears, I mean, anyone has.
Sure.
Some listed higher than death, or more afraid of it than death, which I don't know. I don't know about those studies, but it's, you know, it is a fear, and it can make a really big difference for kids, especially middle school kids, to gain the confidence to speak in public. You know,
mm-hmm.
that allows them to contribute more to the class conversations,
mm-hmm.
class discussions. The practice of public speaking, and there's no mm-hmm. way to, the only way to learn how to do public speaking is to do public
mm-hmm.
speaking. So this is, it offers that. You can see it through the course of a single tournament. A new debater might come in and have a sheet up to their faces, you know, with their notes, and not look at anybody and be terrified, and maybe make a couple of say a couple of sentences and sit down. By the second round, they're offering more points. By the third round, they're offering more in-depth arguments and maybe even taking points of information from the other team. And it's so you can see this growth. And I've seen it in. I could mention there was a kid who joined the team as a sixth grader. And he had a speech impediment and spoke very quickly, and it was hard to understand what he was saying. And I thought, wow, it's interesting that he even wants to be on the debate team. The second semester, my students who had worked with him the first semester could understand him the second semester, but they could. And he was so into it and so excited about debate. He would always bring the snacks and. That he'd volunteer for everything, and he was so dedicated. And by the end, he had slowed down in his speech. By his third year, he had slowed down in his speech enough to where you could really understand him, and he was winning awards for his individual performances. Yeah. And I mean, you could tell that he had just. He had developed this confidence that he didn't have before. I mean, before he had enough confidence to do it, which I was really impressed by. But just, I mean, what it did for him is, I think, I thought many times, like, there are a few stories like that where it's just like, well, if it just helped him, that's absolutely. all this effort. I can see that it's enough.
I mean, imagine that it improves that student's overall academic performance. It probably improves the overall performance of the other students around him that are exposed to that. Is there a way, though, to bridge the gap then to talk about the larger benefits to the community at large then, or to, societal benefits of this?
Absolutely. I mean, I think so. I mean, I think that one of the... Yes, I guess to add on to it, one of the things that I think that the students get out of it too is they're more likely to go to college in the sense that they come to college. We have tournaments on our campus, and we have tournaments on. We rotate through middle school, so like our next one's at Einstein Charter School. We've had them at probably six different middle schools. We've also had one at Xavier University last year, which was great. And the Xavier University debate team, we get maybe six or seven judges come to our tournament volunteering from Xavier, which is awesome. So they get a feel of what it's like to work with college students. Yep. So I feel like that's a big thing.
Exposure.
Yeah, and it's demystifying, and they eat in they'll eat in the cafeterias, and they're like, oh, I get what college life is like, and they sort of, so I think it has a real, in speeches when they come to visit, I always say, that the university is not these, beautiful quads and, impressive buildings and old oak trees. The university is really a conversation. The university, deep in its core, is about the life of the mind, and they're engaging in it when they come. And so I say, when you come here to debate, you're not coming here as visitors. You're coming here as participants in the life of the university. And I really believe that. I think they sort of see themselves in new ways because of it. And I mean, for the broader society, obviously, I think they'll be better able to advocate for the causes that they care about.
Engage civically and
absolutely. Participate. Yeah, because I feel like we give them this gives them skills.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, in some ways, I feel like one of the organizations I really like in New Orleans is the Rethinkers, and they are doing all kinds of great advocacy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in some ways, like the debaters could naturally work with the Rethinkers because they're rethinking things like school discipline, rethinking school lunches, and really applying the sorts of skills that you hone as as a debater. So my sense is that they have the capacity to be active citizens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a sense that would be the purpose of a university, you know, on some level, to create these engaged thinkers, to prepare people to assume roles of civic responsibility, and so that this is fulfilling that in a way that maybe traditional courses and traditional pedagogies just don't or just can't. Very good. Dr. Ryan McBride, Tulane University Center for Public Service. Thanks for your time. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this installment of Teaching, Learning, and Everything Else. For more information, please visit our website at cat.xula.edu.
That's cat.xula.edu.
Until next time, keep on teaching, learning, and everything else.